Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. Let me remind you that we are still critiquing the answer of Professor John Esposito for the question-answer session in his lecture, which he gave in September 10, 2014 at the University of Kentucky. The question was given by the moderator was, does Sharia contradict democracy? Professor Esposito did everything he can to go in circles and not answer the question. He is avoiding the question. But surprise, surprise, the more he talks, the more he digs his hole deeper and deeper. And I do not know how in the world he can come out of this hole. As today, he will be talking about a very important fact about Sharia, which is marriage in Islam. As I told you earlier, Sharia covers all aspects of Muslims' life. One of these aspects is marriage. Muslim men marrying little girls. I'm not talking about the age which Professor Esposito mentioned, as you're going to hear him in a minute, but I'm talking about newborn baby girls. And now let us listen to the huge error which Professor Esposito got himself into by talking about Sharia and marriage, as he stated the following.
And one final point, you know that whole thing about, the Prophet married very young women, Aisha, some of you've heard this, one of his wives might have been anywhere from 10 or 12 to 14. The fact is that in the past in the Roman Empire, you had a same approach to marriage in terms of the age for women. In other words, the age when somebody was seen as, having gone through puberty and could now conceive and get married, etc. You move into a different situation, you move into different cultural situations, and then one talks about changing, realities.
It is not one final point. It is one more lie. That is exactly what Professor John Esposito did here, talking about the marriage of Muhammad to Aisha. He is telling us, listen carefully, his word, Aisha, some of you heard this, one of his wives might have been anywhere from 10, 12, or to 14 years old. I'm sorry, Professor Esposito, you got your numbers wrong. Aisha was not 10, nor 12, nor 14 years old. Here is what Aisha told us herself about her age when she married the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad. For we learn from Sahih Muslim, hadith number 1422, the following.
Aisha said,
"The prophet, Allah's prayer and peace be upon him, married me when I was 6 years old, and he had sex with me when I was 9 years old."
So in simple words, Professor Esposito, I do not know how much money you gain from Saudi Arabia or any other Muslim in planet Earth that you may continue to cover up for Muhammad, that you may continue to cover up for the Muslims. You are not helping the Muslims, my friend, by doing that. You are continuing to deceive them for their eternity in hell. That's not loving the Muslim people. That is the opposite, hating the Muslim people. When you tell your audience and the Muslims who are sitting in your audience that Aisha maybe was 14 or maybe 24 years old when Muhammad married her, you are making a child molester a prophet. You are making a pedophile a godly man. And then here is what is shocking. When you try to compare apples to oranges, once again by telling us that that was a normal thing in the past, in the Roman Empire. Excuse me, Professor Esposito, we're not comparing the Roman Empire to the Arab Empire, but we're comparing Roman Empire, pagan people, to the perfect prophet of Allah, the best man, the noblest example for Muslim to follow. We have a problem with Sharia. And the problem is, marriage in Sharia is not limited to 10 or 12 or 14 years old for females, but limited to if the baby is a boy or a girl. If a baby is born and she is a girl at the time of birth, that is when a man can hold the hand with the father of the baby and recite Quran chapter 1, and that man becomes the husband of that little baby who was just born. You may think I'm making this up, my friends. No. That is Islam. That is Sharia, which Professor Esposito is so ignorant of or deliberately ignoring because of whatever reason he have in his head, the money he's gaining or his wicked heart to sell this country to the Muslims, that someday we'll have Sharia in America. Here is what we learn from Sharia.
Whenever the bride is a virgin, the father or grandfather may marry her to someone without her permission. Though it is recommended to ask her permission if she has reached puberty, a virgin's silence is considered permission.
Do you understand, my friends, what we're reading here? This is what is written in the book of Reliance of the Traveler, the book of Sharia, which was put in English for us, the American people, and sadly, nobody cares or bothers to read and study. In M3.13, point number 2, we learned that if the baby girl is a virgin, which is logic, a baby is not born but a virgin, then the father has the right to marry her to a man who could maybe be 40, 50 years older than her, as we have seen in the case of Muhammad, the noblest example. He was 51 years old when he married Aisha and she was only 6. 6 years old, not 10, 12, 14, or 20, as Professor Esposito is trying to convince us. So the father can marry the little baby after birth, since we know for sure she's a virgin after birth, to any man. That is, without her permission. Now, if she is not a virgin, then maybe the father can ask her, will you marry so-and-so? And now, in our culture, in the Islamic culture, the young lady cannot say no. If she understands what it is, what she's saying yes for, which is marrying some older men. But here is the reality. If she did not say no, that means she's just going to keep her mouth shut. If she is silent, that means it is considered permission. She said it's okay for her to marry that older man. Marrying little girls all over the Muslim world by old men, it is the normal thing in Islam, which is happening all the time because of Sharia, because of the Sunnah of Muhammad. That's what Muhammad did, and that is what is accepted. And if you say no, that means you're calling Muhammad a child molester or a pedophile, which means you are committing blasphemy against the Apostle of Allah, which means you will be put to death. It is a very complicated subject, my friends, than this useful idiot Professor Esposito is trying to make it. Let's continue a little bit more from the study about Sharia and marriage, and that is,
Islamic doctrine permits the marriage of prepubescent girls. There is no minimum age for marriage contract, and the consummation may take place when the girl is at age 8 or 9.
Now we know about the lie of Professor Esposito, because in his own words, he said, in other words, the age when somebody was seen as having entered it or gone through puberty and could now conceive and get married, etc. No, my friends, that is not what Sharia said. It is before the age of puberty. Little children. A Muslim man can be married to a little girl at any age after birth, but he cannot be involved with his wife sexually until she turns 8 or 9, because that is exactly the age of Aisha when she had sexual relationship with her husband, the self-proclaimed prophet Muhammad. So when Professor Esposito talks about the marriage in Sharia or in Islam in a casual way and lies about the age of marriage and mentions that, well, she is now grown up young lady and she can be married and she can have children, that is not true. And logically, it does not make any sense for a man to marry a wife who is 50 years younger than him or even more, because that means he will die and she will be a single mother with little children on her own. That's not right. The marriage between a husband and wife should be closer in age, not in a huge age gap of 50 or so years. And to prove my point, not only from the Sunnah of Muhammad, how Muhammad lived in his sinful behavior and in immoral lifestyle by marrying to his little wife Aisha, who was literally 45 years younger than him.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightwave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let's read what Allah said in the Quran. That is Quran chapter 65 and verse 4.
And for those of your women who despair of menstruation, if you doubt that they may be pregnant, their prescribed waiting time is 3 months, as well as for those who have not yet begun menstruation.
Which means, Professor Esposito, if a husband divorced his wife and she was an elderly woman, maybe she's pregnant, maybe she's not. If he's worried about if she is pregnant, she cannot be remarried to a new husband until 3 months goes by. So now for sure he will know she's pregnant or not. And it is the same judgment of Allah for the little wives who have not yet begun menstruation. Little children, sir. No puberty, no menstruation, little children. The pedophilia style of Allah. If a man is married to a little girl, she has to wait 3 months after he divorced her before she will be abused by a new husband in case she is pregnant by her first husband. That is exactly what you hear, my friends. Immoral teaching, pedophilia, according to the word of Allah in the Quran. So, Professor Esposito, you're mixing apples and oranges in your talk, and you're not doing any favor, not to the Muslims, nor to the Americans, especially when you ended your statement by saying, we move into a different situation. We move into a different culture situation. Culture has nothing to do with the ungodly lifestyle, the immoral teaching of Muhammad and Allah concerning Sharia and marriage. The Christians and the Jews, the idol worshippers of Muhammad days in the 7th century, did not marry little girls after birth, did not get involved with them sexually at the age of 8 or 9, because that is impossible, sir. That is sexual abuse for the little children. And the problem with Muhammad is that he did not do it because of the culture setting of his days. He did it because Allah said it's okay to do so. And even if this was the norm in the days of Muhammad, that men in their 50s be married to little girls who are 6 or 7 years old, instead of Muhammad coming to this world as the noblest example of Allah and the noblest example for Muslim men to follow and end this immoral teaching. No, he came to approve it. And that is not accepted, not by any person who have logic, who believes there is a God and there is morality. This is the immoral teaching of Muhammad, which neither Christian, Jews, or idol worshippers practiced in his days. And that is the problem with Muhammad and Sharia and democracy. This have nothing to do with culture or anything but That is the reality, that Sharia Islamia, the marriage Islamic laws, does not fit with our constitution. Professor Esposito ended, and then one talks about changing, you know, realities. The reality is this, Professor Esposito. Muhammad was not a prophet. Allah is not God. Sharia, Islamic law, is not but a savage, barbaric, immoral law. About everything is written there which goes against our democracy, which goes against our freedom. What are you going to do when Muslims in America demand the right to be involved with their little children whom they marry, and they waited for a long 8 years after birth to consummate their marriage? Will you tell the Muslims of America you cannot be involved sexually with their child brides? Are you going to put a policeman or a social worker in every Muslim house where there is a husband in his 50s who just happened to have a wife at the age of 8 or 9, sir? Sharia, Islamic law, and the American Constitution, and everything about our democracy will never fit together. That Sharia belongs to the 7th century, to the immoral people who believe in Islam, like Muhammad and his early followers. And that Sharia, these laws, does not fit with our life here in America through our democracy. For Islam is the work of the devil, and democracy is the work of modernism, Christianity, freedom, and liberty, which Muslims do not know and they will never accept. And now let us listen to the final words of Professor Esposito concerning the question, does Sharia contradict democracy? That is when he said,
can you have Sharia and democracy? I think Tunisia is a perfect example of it. The Islamic movement there won. They implemented democracy. They not only implemented, they announced ahead of time that the president would not be a member of their group. They announced that if they were elected, they would bring in the next three political parties that were socialist and secularist and don't like them at all. And so there, that's worked out. But it all depends on what your interpretation is.
Now, Professor Esposito picked up the country of Tunisia as a good example to show us that you can have democracy and Sharia. And he built his hogwash lies here on the promises which was given by the group which is known by Al-Nahda. These are the Muslim jihadi who won the election. And he is literally telling us, here is what they said. If they won, that the presidents will not be a member of their group. And they will reach out to the other three political parties who were socialist and secularist. But did they keep these promises? Of course not. For first, they did not implement democracy. Second, their presidents were members of the group. They controlled the entire country. And when they elected some members of the other parties, whom Professor Esposito described to be socialist and seculars, who he actually said they did not like them at all, well, guess what? They were picking up their own members in these groups. What Professor Esposito did not tell his audience was that the Muslim jihadi of Tunisia have already infiltrated all other parties, the socialists and the seculars and whatever names you want to put. So when they will pick up members of other parties, they will pick up their own members, the Muslim jihadi. Similar to that is what took place in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated all other parties in Egypt. And when they won the election, by stealing it, of course, they picked up their own members from other parties. And in the end, Egypt was controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. The same thing happened here in the country of Tunisia. Now, if you want to compare Tunisia to Egypt, you can imagine with me, the number of the Egyptian is 105 million. But the number of the people who live in Tunisia are 11 million. As a matter of fact, there are more people living in Cairo, the capital of Egypt, than those who live in the whole entire country of Tunisia. Now, what we need to know about that Al-Nahda organization, These are the Muslim jihadi of Tunisia who are destroying the country of Tunisia, not like how Professor John Esposito is describing them. For example, they actually are terrorists, and the proof of that is because they kill all those who stand against their way. They actually already assassinated two people, one by the name Shukri Balaid and Muhammad al-Barahimi. They were assassinated by the Islamic Nahda movement, which Professor John Esposito is bragging about. By the way, the Al-Nahda organization, this Muslim jihadi of Tunisia, do not like Assisi, the president of Egypt. Like Professor John Esposito, also he does not like Assisi. As a matter of fact, Barack Hussein Obama and all the Democrats of America do not like Assisi. But if you compare the differences between Egypt and Tunisia, you will discover that Tunisians are living on the international foreign aid, all the money which America and many of the European countries gave to these 11 million people who live in this small, tiny country. But in Egypt, we are fully equipped to take care of ourselves. Even through the crisis of coronavirus, the Egyptian country is the best country in all the 57 Muslim countries. They are working hard and building a great economy than that which is all over the Muslim world. The Spring Movement, which Professor John Esposito is bragging about, brought nothing but chaos and bankruptcy and literally socialism and communism all over the countries of Libya, Syria, Iraq, Tunisia, and Yemen. That's exactly what liberals want. They want not only to destroy the Middle East countries, but they also love to see America destroyed. So I'm sorry, nothing Professor John Esposito said about that Muslim movement of Al-Nahda in Tunisia is true. They are jihadi who are destroying their country, and there will never be democracy in Tunisia. And by the way, Professor Esposito, this has nothing to do with any interpretation. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.